and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, and travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. I just pray that we might get something out of this message today. There's a lot in it. And I just pray, Lord, that if we listen intently, that we can go away from this place and say, you know, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. We just pray now that you'll help us and guide us. We'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This being the Sunday after Easter, I want to each of us to realize that the entry that the Lord made into Jerusalem the week before that, or the week before he was crucified, was no accident. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think about how things happen and why they happen in the Bible. But everything that happens in the Bible is for a reason. And I want to show you some things today a little bit as to his entry into the first time into Jerusalem. Now, we all know that what happened, the disciples went and they went and got a, I'm on. Well, there I am. Am I on now?
Yes.
Okay. They went and they found a colt, and the that everybody looks at, and they spread their garments in front of him and cried Hosanna in the height. But there's some other things that happen there that people don't understand. And I want to take and show you a little bit about that this morning, plus a lot of other things that we're going to be looking at. But now, the day was perfectly picked, and the time perfectly picked, and the area in which he rode into Jerusalem was perfectly picked for his entrance the first time into Jerusalem. Now, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives that day, guess what? He was coming from the east into Jerusalem. You say, well, what difference does that make? Oh, it makes a lot of difference because of what we're going to see later on in my message this morning. But people don't understand that he came from the east. He went from the east to the west. You know, this is very important because when Jesus comes again the second time, he's going to come from the east, just as he did the first time. Now, the day that he came into Jerusalem, he came as a lowly carpenter, son who many wanted to be the next king of Israel. However, he did not come that day as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even though they spread palm leaves and on the ground, even though they placed a robe around him and cried Hosanna in the highest. But he did not come that day to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to be the Savior of the world. But one day he will return as the King of Glory. Today I want to look at the triumph of his coming back or his second coming. And I want us to realize that we're now living in what's known as the church age. If you look at the dispensations of the Bible, you'll see that we are living in what's known as the age of grace. That means that the Holy Spirit is still in the world. He's convicting the hearts of those that need to get saved to get saved. You know, Jesus is going to return two more times. Two more times he's going to come back. He came once already. He's going to come back two more times. The next event that's going to happen in our quote-unquote religious calendar is the rapture of the church. There are some people who do not believe in the rapture of the church. However, we're promised that we're going to be taken away before the wrath of God is poured out upon this world. And you say, well, What difference does that make? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to go through God's wrath. God's wrath is going to be very, 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 very bad. And there's going to be millions and millions of people who are going to lose their lives. There's going to be millions of people who are going to suffer through God's wrath. And they're going to blame God for it. But many do not feel there's going to be a rapture or taking away of those who are saved. But, you know, I believe the Bible. I believe what the Bible says because it's never been wrong. It's never been wrong. In Luke chapter 24, verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens." Acts 1, 9-11 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, what period of time is that talking about? It's not talking about the second coming when Christ is going to set up his kingdom. It's talking about the rapture of the church. This is talking about the rapture of the church when Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take the church out of here. All those that are going to be saved are going to be taken out. And what we need to realize is that these two scriptures clearly show that Jesus left the earth. He's gone. You know, he was caught up in the clouds, just as Elijah and Moses were caught up in the clouds when they were talking to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, here we see these two men who were angels telling the disciples that this same Jesus is going to return in like manner. Now, we're going to see that this cannot be the second coming of Christ when he sets foot on earth, and I'll show you why here in just a little bit. But when Jesus left this earth, he was taken up to heaven in a cloud. When he returns to receive the church, he's going to return in a cloud. Wow. Just think about that. One day, there's going to be a cloud that's going to pass over this earth, and the church is going to be gone, just like that. It's going to be gone. We're going to be gone. You know, I can hardly wait for that very moment when we're going to be gone. But, you know, if Jesus is going to return, when? When is it that Christ is going to return for the church? Matthew 24, 36 to 42 says this, "But in that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered unto the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field at country thunder. The one shall be taken and the other one left." No, that isn't what it says. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. You know, no one knows when the rapture is going to happen. Even though there has been many, 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 many over the years who have tried to predict when Christ is going to come back. You know, I can remember in my lifetime, there's been probably 50 people who have predicted that the Lord was going to come back and the rapture is going to happen on this specific date at this specific time. In fact, the Seventh-day Adventist, that's where they started. The guy that started the Seventh-day Adventist back in the 1950s said that Christ is going to return on such and such date, 1957. They went out and they sold all of their homes. They sold all of their businesses. They sold all their worldly possessions and gave everything away. The day came and went. He goes, oh, I made a mistake. It's next year. So they didn't do anything for a whole year. It came the next year and it didn't happen. He's going, my calculations must be off. Do you think maybe? I mean, there was people that wanted to take care of him in a very bad way after doing all that. But, you know, we need to realize that no man knows when Jesus is coming back. Nobody can predict it. All we can see is the signs. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, it tells exactly what we're supposed to be looking for. Think about it. Think how bad it had to be before the times of Noah. And you look around us today and you see what's happening and you say, how can it get any worse? How can it get any worse than what it is right now? You know, if Noah's time was worse than it is now, heaven help us. Amen? You know, there is no morality anymore in this world. None. Zero. If you don't believe me, go over to Walmart today and just sit there and watch the people come and go out of the Walmart that have been out in the sun all day and have very little on. And I guarantee you're going to say, wow, you know what? Pastor was right this morning. There is no morality anymore. My wife went into Walmart on Friday. She was going to go to the pharmacy to get a prescription. She walked in. Went into the first door, looked around, turned around, walked back out, got back in the car and came home. She says, we'll wait and get it on Monday. She said it was so bad that people were lined up all the way to the pharmacy. All the checkouts were open. They were lined up all the way to the pharmacy waiting to check out. They were checking out at the jewelry counter pharmacy. They were checking out at electronics. They were checking all over. They were checking out. And she said, it was unbelievable. She said the way they were dressed, the way they were talking, they were slosh drunk. She said, no. She says, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Nothing. Nothing at all. You know, if the days of Noah are worse than they are today, heaven help us. Because I'll tell you what, we have some really bad times to go through yet before Christ comes. But how do we know that this event is going to happen? How do we know that there's going to be a rapture? How do we know that there's going to be a taken away from the earth? Well, Jesus promised that if he left this earth, he would return and receive us unto himself, and where he is, we'll be also. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know what I like about that? You know what I like about that part of that verse? In the King James Bible, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, not rooms. You go into a lot of the other translations today, and they'll say rooms. They no longer say mansion, they're just rooms because they don't feel that heaven's going to be big enough to have mansions. Well, I'll tell you what, I want a mansion. You know, I've got a room down here, I want a mansion up there, amen? You know, I believe that it's going to be a mansion. I believe that there's going to be a place prepared for me. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, Jesus may have been talking to his disciples, but guess what? He is talking to me too. You know, people say, well, there's not going to be enough room for all these mansions. Well, let's see. The new city of Jerusalem is going to be 1,000 cubic miles. That means it's going to be 1,000 miles across, 1,000 miles across, 1,000 miles across, 1,000 miles across, 1,000 miles high. How many floors can you get in 1,000 miles? Think about it. You know, if you take and you take 1,000 cubic miles, you can have a lot of layers in that 1,000 miles. There was a guy that actually did the calculation. He said that if there was a half a mile between each floor in the New Jerusalem, because now you got to remember, it's going to be clear. It's going to be like acrylic in there. You're going to be able to see from the top all the way to the bottom. Kind of like the jail over there. You know, it's all acrylic. And but what you need to realize is this, is that each of those floors, you got 1,000 square miles of room to build mansions. Now you've got 2,000 times 1,000. You can get a lot of mansions in there. Amen? You know, I believe that we're going to have a mansion to live in. You know, we need to realize that Jesus doesn't lie. When he says it's a mansion, it's going to be a mansion. There are three scriptures which I feel talk directly about the about his coming or the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 58, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 5, 2 when we first started. In Revelation chapter 2, or chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And after this I looked and beheld the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and beheld a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne." Now, there's some things in that verse, and there's some people that disagree with what I feel this verse says, but I really don't care, because I feel it talking about the rapture here. And the reason I do is, number one, there was a voice that sounded like a trumpet. There's your trumpet sound. And it said, "Come up hither." And it says, "I will show you things that must be hereafter." He says, "I want to take and I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the future." And I believe that this is also talking about the rapture. And one of the other reasons is because after chapter 3 in Revelation, you never see the church mentioned again. So it's taken out. So here we see that I believe that all three of these tie together in the rapture of the church. I feel this description is what the rapture of the church is going to be. I believe that there's going to be a trumpet sound. I believe there's going to be a shout, "Come up hither." And I believe that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be gone. Now, how long is the twinkling of an eye? One nano of a second. How long is 1 nano of a second? That is from your brain telling your eye to blink. That's a nano of a second. They have it measured. A nano of a second is your brain saying, okay, blink. And you've already blinked. But that's a nano. That's how fast it's going to be when we're changed and we're taken out of here. Now, people say, well, I'm going to wait until I hear that trumpet sound, and then I'm going to call on the Lord. Too late. Never work. Can't do it fast enough. You know, what we need to realize is this. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time when we take and make sure that we know where we're going to spend eternity. Now is when we have to have the decision made where we're going to take and spend the rest of our spiritual lives. You know, Jesus promised that he would return and take us to where he is. Jesus is going to come back and retrieve what is his, the church, to be with him without spot and blemish. Jesus will not set his foot on the earth at this time, though. Jesus is not going to come back and physically stand on the earth during the rapture. He's going to come as he went in the clouds. He is not going to put his feet on the soil. He's going to be in the clouds, and we're going to go up to meet him in the air. That's a cool thing, I think. I love flying. I do. I'm going to fly without wings. Amen? You know, all of us who are saved are going to be changed. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds and be ushered into heaven, and we're going to be there for all eternity. Now, the second coming of the Lord, as it's called many times, is different, and it's a different time period than what the rapture is. And this is going to be the second triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus. Now, when he comes in the clouds to take the church, there's no fanfare. There's nothing for him at all other than taking the church out. We will hear the trumpet sound. We will hear the shout. We will be changed. We will be gone. Now, the second coming, the second triumphant entry of him is going to be different. This time period is completely different than what the rapture of the church is. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 19 real quick. I figured that'd be easy one to turn to, last book in the Bible. And I love this verse. I love these verses. I do. I just love these verses. I've always wanted to be a cowboy. And I just love these verses, and I'll show you why. Revelation 19, starting verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the what? Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon what? White horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written." What is that? "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Hey, listen. This is going to be a triumphant entry. I'm going to be coming riding on a white horse. I can hardly wait. The last time I got on a horse, they had to get a crane to get me up on top of there. But this time I'll be able to just jump up and go, I owe silver. You know what I mean? But here we see that after 7 years of tribulation, Jesus and his armies are going to once again return to earth triumphant. If you take and you think about this, you say, well, yeah, that's just in the book of Revelation. You know, it was just something that was that John had seen in his vision and this and that. No, it ain't. In Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the horses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Wow. 400 years before Christ was here on the earth, it was prophesied by Ezekiel. Listen, what we need to realize is this. God's word's true. If God said it, it's going to happen. One day, all of a sudden, after the 7 years of tribulation, which is going to be seven of the worst years this world has ever seen, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back on a white horse. Guess what? The saints are coming back with him. Who's the saints? Usins. Usins. Hey, we're going to come back with him. We're going to have white horses just like he does. I'll tell you what, that's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. All of a sudden, I can just see the heavens open up and here comes all these horses out of heaven. Wow. Man. You know, Jesus is going to return the second time triumphant. He's going to set up his kingdom here on earth where he's going to reign for 1,000 years as Lord and Lord, King of Kings. You know, his kingdom will be set up in Jerusalem, but he's going to be King Supreme. Revelation, if you're in Revelation, just go to Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 4. It says, and I saw thrones, and they had sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Listen, Christ is going to come back the second time and reign supreme for 1,000 years as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is going to be the ultimate judge of all things upon this earth. I mean, just think about this. Jesus is going to be the judge of everything for 1,000 years. Wow. That's really something, isn't it? You know, we many times look at the cross, which we should, as to what Jesus did for us to usher in salvation. However, once we're saved, we need to look at the sky for the rapture of the church when Jesus will come triumphant to receive his own unto him. You know, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day when all of a sudden there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet sound, and I'm going to be gone. I'm looking forward to that day. And then there's going to be 7 years of the worst tribulation ever man has ever thought of. But after that, there'll be 1,000 years of peace when Satan is bound and cast into the bottomless pit. But then there's going to be one last battle. And I'll tell you what, that battle, I love reading about it. Do you know that that battle is only going to be fought by one person? One person. All the nations of the world are going to come against Christ and the saints in Jerusalem. Every nation, after 1,000 years of Christ's reign here on this earth, there's going to be those who go against him when Satan is loosed, and they're all going to come against Israel and against Christ. The Bible says that God takes care of it himself. The Bible says that God rains fire and brimstone out of heaven, destroys everything. You know, I have no idea what that would be like, but I know I ain't going to be here for it, which is fine with me. But you know, God has promised that he's going to take and he's going to take us out, that we're going to be home with him in heaven. But are we going to be caught up with Christ during the rapture? Or are we going to be left behind with little hope of eternal life? You know, Jesus was triumph over his life. He was triumph over his entry. He was triumph over the cross. He is triumph over the grave. And one day he's going to be triumph over this world. He's going to be triumphed in his second coming. You know, each of us, if we're sure we're saved, need to be looking for his second return, and that's the rapture, to take us to where he is. We don't want to try to wait and do it during the tribulation. And you know, there are an awful lot of people today, they'll say, oh, you know what? I can wait. After all, people are going to get saved during the tribulation. I don't want to try it. I don't want to try it. Because that's going to be one of the worst times this world has ever seen. There's going to be a shout, trumpet sound, and we're going to be taken out. But what about you today? Where would you spend eternity if the rapture would come today? Amen. You know, there's an awful lot of people that say, well, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. Well, I'm hoping you are too. I'm sure I'm going there. Yeah. You know, but what we need to realize is this, is that one day when that shout is shouted, the trumpet sound, it's too late. Because Brother Mike and I, we've talked about this many times. The Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the world. The Holy Spirit is going to be gone from the Gentiles. The Gentile time is over. It's going to be hard for a person to be convicted of their sins like you are now during the tribulation time. The 144,000 are not sent to the Gentiles. They're sent to the Jewish people. That's why there's 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. They go to their own tribe to evangelize them. The Gentiles are on their own. What they would have got before the tribulation is all they get. And the only way they're going to make it through that tribulation is to be martyred. And I would rather go to heaven alive than beheaded. I would rather go there alive than beheaded. What we need to realize is that God's word is true. There's nothing that God has said that will not come to pass. It will come. He came the first time triumphant as a carpenter's son to usher in salvation. The second time he comes, he's going to usher in judgment. People say, well, Jesus is a God of love. Yes, he is. But he's also a God of judgment. He's also a God of judgment. We need to make sure that we know where we would spend eternity if something would happen to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you.